Jordan. Hey, let's stand together before we pray, and as we pray and as we open God's Word. Father God, we just come before you. So grateful that you visit us, that you're in our lives, and that within us has, within us, the most powerful resources that we could ever imagine to live this life that you've called us to live. The Christ way, the Jesus way. That God that you've called us to, that Lord, that you took us out of the pit and put us on the rock and made our footsteps firm and put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God. And you set before us this love standard, this standard of love in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God incarnate. And Father, when you placed the Spirit within us, you did that for one thing. For number one, to be with us forever, to comfort us when we're hurting and struggling. Father, and then you put us in there so that you might truly transform us. And we praise you for that today. That individually, each of us in Christ have the Spirit of the living God living within us. Corporately, the Spirit rests upon us. And we acknowledge that today, and we thank you for it. And then you've given us your word, and then as we open the word to understand the powerful resource of the word of God in our lives, that when it is read, when it is believed, when it is walked out, when it is obeyed, Lord, it brings such great power. And I pray, Lord, that as we open this word, that you'd be glorified in it and honored in it. But Lord, that we would be a people who don't just hear the word, but we'd be a people who do the word. And have this effectual work of the Spirit working out in our lives. So that, God, we don't live like the rest of the world. Where the world is bitter, we're joyful. Where they're unforgiving, we're forgiving. Where they're lustful, we love. We love like you love. Where the world is greedy, we are givers, not takers. Oh, God, I pray you transform us this morning as a result of being here in this place today. We come to this word believing exactly what it says. And I ask, Lord, that it would have its way in us today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah, thank you. Maybe see if you have your Bibles. We're going to start at John here in just a few minutes. John chapter 3, verse 26 through 30. You know, we have come off of a series on prayer and a prayer initiative for our church. And we walked through the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. And this past week, as I was finishing up studying for last week's message and last week's Lord's Supper, I began to realize, you know, one of the reasons why I picked, felt led to pick out from the Lord's Prayer in Luke as opposed to Matthew is because of this powerful verse at the end of this dialogue, at the end of this teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11 about the Holy Spirit, that God wants to give the Holy Spirit. How much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a message, and the message was a really, really good message. Don't get me wrong on this. It was really, really good. But there was a point there that the speaker said that the most powerful resource available in the world today is human potential. And I stopped there because I thought, human potential? Really, that's the biggest, greatest resource that the world has ever seen? And a couple of things about human potential, okay? A couple of things about it. Human potential, or anything human in of itself, will never be enough. It'll never be enough. You might have the greatest potential to do whatever, but potential doesn't mean anything, really. I mean, there's lots of folks who've had great potential. A coach will tell you, you don't win games because your kids have potential. You don't succeed in life because you have potential. And so I was thinking about this over the past couple of days, about this whole thought of human potential, which, believe me, when I think of God and I think of who he is and the resources that he's given us, we can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without him. That we are totally dependent, not on our human ingenuity or our smartness or our intelligence or our social intelligence or any of those things. Without Christ, we're nothing. That's the whole point that we're here today, is it not? Isn't that why we've received Christ into our lives? We realize that there was nothing in me, nothing in this fallenness about my life that I could ever offer God. And that's why grace is unmerited. That's why mercy is unmerited. It's God who comes along and sees us in our sin and sees us in our need and begins to speak into our lives. That's why we're alive in Christ, if you're alive in Christ. Not because you had potential. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about Jesus using the least of these. That which is foolish to this world. That which is the dregs, the scripture says. That's what Paul said, the dregs. He took us out of the dregs. And we had no potential. We had nothing to offer God. And God came along and did this mighty, mighty work. Listen, anything human in and of itself will never, ever be enough. It never has been. It never will be. Anything human and anything that I have, just as our brother just sang about, that is good, is owed to God. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. All are as nothing. Nothing but dust, the scripture says. Man has sinned and man has fallen. In John chapter 3, verse 26, when John's testimony, when John the Baptist's ministry is waning and Jesus is increasing, the Jews or his teachers or his disciples came to him in verse 26, and they said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all are coming to him. He's baptizing now, and everybody's coming to him now. I mean, John, you had this great ministry, and people were coming from all over, and you were preaching, and you were baptizing. Well, guess what, John? They're no longer coming to you. They're coming to this man, this one that you testified about. And that's what we do, don't we? So the disciples are saying, let's go to the next hot thing. Let's go to the next great thing. I mean, that's what the people are doing. But John says something really, really significant. Very significant in my mind, in my heart. And I think you'll agree with me. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given him from heaven. We say that again. A man, a woman, a person can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one. I'm fallen. I'm just a human being. I'm just somebody that God has used and raised up for a brief time for his purposes. But I've been sent ahead of him. And he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase and I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. Amen. It ought to be the heartbeat of our lives in view of who this great God is in our lives. But we're always jockeying for position, aren't we? We're always thinking about ourselves. How can we get a little bit more? And how can we count the little more that we get? And all of a sudden, sometimes even in Christian life, it all becomes about the flesh and all about the self. And we'll raise up doctrines that'll just feed the flesh. It'll be all about the flesh and not the Spirit of God. And we run after things, even in the name of Jesus, that really do not profit. He must increase. I must decrease. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is here, and I'm rejoicing that he's here. He must increase. I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. Hey, listen, if you do that, listen, I believe this with all my heart. If we have that kind of attitude, which every one of us should, because that's the very nature of God that's in us, that we're going to talk about in a moment about the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the very nature. Because, you know, the things of the Christian life, they don't make sense. Does it make sense to forgive somebody 70 times 7? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to our finite mind. Matter of fact, we think that guy needs to decrease and I need to increase. But no, those things don't make sense sometimes. where God raises up the foolish, or that we're fools for Christ and the world doesn't understand it. They don't understand how we live, why we move to the places we move to, why we do the things that we do. He must increase. I must decrease. Hey, listen, if we'll have that kind of attitude every single day of our lives, I want to tell you, God will do exciting, abundant things. He'll do it in your marriage. To say, oh, I must decrease. He must increase in this marriage, in this relationship. It's him that needs to increase, not me. Not me as a husband or me as a wife. He needs to increase. We need to decrease. Because we wake up and we realize, I've been living life for me and not him. But John, he had something different, didn't he? He knew his purpose. And listen, his purpose for a brief shining moment, and I'm talking just a few months, that was the extent of his ministry. Just a few months. And then Jesus would come and just have 3 years. That's it. That's it. But it was the attitude. It was the spirit that said, listen, it's not about me. It's nothing about human potential. Matter of fact, without Christ, I'm nothing. I'm absolutely, totally nothing without him. And it's the attitude and it's the spirit that we must walk in. It's the spirit of humility that we must grab onto and hold on to the rest of our lives, because the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but yet he's opposed to the proud. So when we think about human potential, don't get me wrong, because human beings are part of God's plan to empower, to be like Christ, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece. But listen, we all fall short. We all fall short. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about what I believe are the two most powerful resources ever available for you and me today. The two most powerful resources. And I think we can find this really all through Scripture, but I think we can find this here in Luke chapter 11. As we've been studying it through prayer, as we come to the end of this dialogue, that this teaching that Jesus has. So let's look at this together, and we'll start in verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, don't bother me. The door's already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and get you anything. I tell you, even though he will get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, his importunity is the literal word, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who's asking receives. And he who is seeking finds. And to him who's knocking, it's opened. Now suppose one of your fathers has asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let me tell you the first, what I believe, look at this passage of Scripture, the first most powerful resource that you have. By the way, the Bible says he's given you everything you need to live godly. Everything you need to live this life out. You have everything that you need. Every resource available from the kingdom of God to live this out. Every resource you need to walk in forgiveness, to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk in life, to be patient. Everything that you need to be conformed into the image of Christ. You have it all. You have everything that you need if you're in Christ. The question is, do you believe that today? Because this is what the Word says we have. It's what the Word speaks. And so I want to tell you that I believe the most powerful resource ever is the Word of God. Okay? It's the Word of God. And I'm going to just give you a little bit of a caveat, a little bit extra here, especially the Word of God in prayer. Okay? In prayer. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And what does he do? He gives them his word. He gives them his heart. He gives them what's on his mind. Father, hallowed be your name. That's the word of God now. The minute that it was spoken, it became God's word. But also, as the writers wrote, inspired under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to record this for us, all of a sudden we have the word to pray. We have the word to pray. And I tell you, it's powerful. It's powerful to pray, oh God, in this circumstance, in this situation, in this life, in this grand scheme of my life, may your name be hallowed. May your name be glorified. Again, not me. May your name increase and mine decrease. May your name increase and Cottonwood's name decrease. Hallowed be your name. It's the word of God. It's how we're to live. It's how we're to breathe. It's how we're to pray. And when you pray that and you live that and you walk according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lived out in this Bible, in this scripture, that's this record of our great God and who he is and what he has said and what he's revealed to us. And so we share it, we speak it, we believe it, we pray it. And there's power in God's name being glorified, or God's kingdom come and advanced, or his will being done, or his provision being seen and enjoyed, or when he says, forgive us our debts as we're forgiving everyone, as forgiveness is received and given, where God leads us not in temptation, but delivers from the evil one, where we see the tempter thwarted and freedom alive. This is powerful resources. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the flash prayers of life. Do you remember that? Where we just talk about moving through life and something's happening in our lives and we cry out this phrase, or we cry out this peace, or we cry out this word, oh God, save me. And God seems to come along and do something significant. Well, those are just the powerful resources that you have in your heart and your life to speak right in the moment. Oh God, be glorified. May your name be honored here. Oh God, I'm walking through this temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. A little flash prayer, a little prayer here that just goes a long way. Why? Because I'm speaking the word of God back to God. You know, I had someone ask me, why do we pray this when God's already promised to do these things? And when we get down to asking God for the Holy Spirit, we're going to say, well, don't I already have the Holy Spirit? Why do I have to ask for the Holy Spirit? You know, it's right. God's name is going to be honored, right? His kingdom is going to come. His will is going to be done, right? It is. He is the provider. He's promised to provide. We've already been forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future. I mean, if we're in Christ, that's just the bottom line. He's not going to lead us into temptation. He's not going to tempt us in anything. And so why is he asking us? Well, God's sovereign. The end is clear. But what's so great is the means to the end, okay? And the means to the end is you and me. And that's why the Spirit will come and place gifts in your life. Gifts to speak, gifts to sing, gifts of faith, and gifts of service, and gifts of leadership, and gifts of giving. And he gives that, he disperses it upon the church for that to be the means. Listen, the Bible says that he could raise up rocks to praise his name, but he hasn't chosen to do that. He's chosen you and me as the means. And so when I'm praying, God, forgive me of my sins, I know I'm forgiven. I'm just confessing. I'm just agreeing with God. When I say, oh, God, give us this day our daily bread, or God, I've got this need, he knows it already beforehand, and he's at work right now. I'm just lining up to it. I'm just believing it. I'm just walking it out in that moment. And that's why we ask. That's why we ask. What I want to say to you is that the word of God is so powerful. If you've spent any time here, you know one of my favorite verses about the Word of God is Psalm chapter 19. You've heard me pray it if you've been here, even in the last several weeks. Go to there for just a moment, Psalm chapter 19. Notice what the Scripture says about Scripture. Chapter 7. The law is perfect. The law is perfect. It's complete. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, It makes wise the simple. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. They're sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there's great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless. I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do you see how powerful this resource is? As I read the word, as I open it, as I study it, as I believe it. Some of you here today, you've come with broken souls. Your soul is devastated because of sin, devastated because of poor choices, devastated. It's broken. And yet God says, listen, my work in the Word, my work in Scripture, my work from Scripture, the things that I speak, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've come to restore your soul. Come to restore it. Some of your hearts are sad today. Sad. The Bible says in verse 8 that the precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. They rejoice the heart. Some of us today may be making poor choices. And we can just say it. I'll just say it this way. We're doing stupid stuff. We're acting stupid. And yet the Bible says this word makes you wise. It makes the simple wise. The Scripture says that this word enlightens the eyes. It's pure. It gets us to see. This Bible says, hey, this Bible, this word, it's more desirable than gold. And it's much, much more than fine gold. And it's sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It's better than money. And it's better than food. And that's why I will say to you today, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Believe this word. Live this word. Read it. Know it. Understand it. Trust God to speak to you through it. Oh, he wants to speak. He wants, that's how approachable he is. And this is why when Jesus is teaching us to pray, uses principles of Scripture. And you can see it all. What he says in just a few phrases, you can see all through Scripture these principles. Matter of fact, we were on this prayer for 6 months. 6 months. That's how deep it is, how rich it is, how wide it is, the breadth of it, the depth of it. Because why? It is the Word. It is God's Word. It is God's written Word to you. It is the record of who He is and what He says to do. And so the Word of God in prayer, a great resource. If you go back to Luke 11, that's why he'll say to us in this chapter, or in this passage, so he'll say in verse 9, I'm saying to you, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock, verse 9, knock and it shall be opened. I love the tenses of the verbs here. It's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And he gives this illustration of this guy who's in bed and the neighbor comes and knocks and says, hey, I need some bread. I don't have anything. We're out for the day. And all I need is three little biscuits, three little loaves of bread. I've got somebody who's traveled and they're on a journey and I know it's midnight, but hey, let me in. And the guy says, hey, I can't do this. We're already in bed. Everything's shut up and I've got my kids in bed. I don't want to get up and give you bread. Jesus says he doesn't get up because he's a friend. Why? He gets up because of his persistence, of his importunity, which is the opposite of opportunity. What he's saying is that this guy was brash. This guy was bold. This guy was confident. Came to the house at midnight and knocked on it. And I don't know about you. I'd say, you're here for that? You're here for that? And you know, I don't know, have you ever had somebody knock on the door 2-3 in the morning? I have, I can't tell you about it. Scared me to death. But it was something so trivial. And I thought, you woke me up for this?
You woke me up for that. You couldn't wait 4 hours. You woke me up at 3 o'clock. You came over, we were living over here at this parsonage, and you knocked. You woke me up. That's persistent.
You know what's interesting? I did what the guy asked to do. I did. And Jesus says, listen, I want you to come into my throne room of grace. And I want you to come boldly. I want you to come brashly. I want you to come confident. Hey, when you get to studying this from just these great folks from the Puritans to whatever, they're saying, hey, this is the God of God we serve. He's saying, listen, don't think that there's anything too trivial for God. I mean, he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. Matter of fact, we have a God that wants you to knock at midnight, even if it's just asking for 3 biscuits. I'm just telling you, keep on asking. Keep on asking. I think about these 3 words, ask, seek, and find. Thought about a couple of things. Just want to just share with you real briefly. Number one is we keep on asking. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me. Look on the screen. Call to me and I'll answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ask of me. And I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. And he says, just keep on asking. Just keep on asking. There's some of you here that say, well, that doesn't sound like faith to me. I'm sorry, it sounds like faith to me to keep on asking. So if you keep on asking, are you believing? Yeah, I'm believing every time I ask. I want to do that. Hey, has your kid ever asked you something and just did it? He asked you or she asked you ad nauseum and you finally gave in and you gave, right? Has anybody experienced that? You know, I'll never forget my brother, his son Hunter, when he wanted something, he asked and he asked and he asked and he asked. And he was playing football, and everybody had a chance to kick the ball. So every game, when they scored a touchdown, he'd ask the coach, can I kick? 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 He'd follow that coach. Can I kick? Can I kick? Can I kick? Just a little bitty guy. Can I kick? Can I kick? Can I kick? Can I kick? And my brother said, watch how frustrated this coach is going to be. And they're laughing. Okay. Can I kick? Can I kick? Can I kick? And my brother said, you're going to let him kick. He's not going to stop. He didn't say that to him. That's what he was saying in the stand. And you know what the coach did? Coach let him kick. Didn't do too good, but he kicked. Keep on asking. You're in a situation, you're in a struggle, you're in a heartache, you're in a need. He knows your need. Yeah, he already knows it. But listen, he has designed the means to see that need met by you asking and asking in faith. Keep on asking. Call to me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great mighty things which you do not know. Bible says keep on asking. Don't ever tire in asking God. He doesn't tire. He doesn't tire at all. He's not up there scratching his head. I mean, yeah, we got to wait sometimes. Yeah, there's some patience that we have to do when things aren't going our way. But just keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. You know, I love Jeremiah 29:11. Do you have that? Do we have that on the screen? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Next one, verse 12. We have that one? It says, I will, you will call upon me and I will answer you when you seek for me with all your heart. And I will listen to you, he says. You'll come, you'll pray to me, and you'll find me when you search for me with everything that you are. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We seek. We ask. We keep on seeking. We keep on in this journey of looking to him and seeking his face and seeking his ways. We keep on knocking. We knock for opportunities. We knock on the door of people's lives to have influence. And you know, I don't mean to say it like in a pestering way, but listen, whenever God asks you to knock, just go knock. You seek for those and you ask and you knock for those opportunities that God has for you, that God's designed for you. And watch the doors open. Doors of opportunity to share faith, to bless God with, to bless people with. And that's why Jesus says, hey, keep on asking. Keep on asking that my name be glorified, my name be honored. Keep on asking for forgiveness of sins. Keep on asking for daily provision. Keep on asking to be delivered, to walk in freedom. Just keep on asking. Keep on asking. Because all you're asking, when you're asking according to this, You're asking according to God's word. And I want to tell you, there's power in God's word in prayer. It just is. There's just something powerful about it. And I want to ask you, do you believe that about the word today? And do you believe it so much that you're praying it on a regular basis? I really love what the psalmist said in Psalm 19. He says, you know, what's my favorite? The word of God is so great, it rejoices the heart. Some of us are so sad and so down about things going on in our lives, about things of the past, that instead of having the joy of the Lord, we have the grumbling spirit of man. And the Bible says, listen, you get into this word, you get into this Bible, you read this Bible, you believe this Bible, you speak it, you want to share it, you want to do the things, you want to pray it, you want to live it, you will find joy. I'm not saying that your circumstances change necessarily. There's Christians today getting beheaded. Okay? They're being martyred for the faith. But I'm not talking about a flesh gospel. I'm talking about a spirit-soul gospel. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about today. And circumstances are hard, and sometimes circumstances are difficult, but the Bible promises that His Word is so great and so powerful. It's a great resource to rejoice your heart, to restore your soul, to make you wise, to enlighten your eyes. And that's why He says, hey, invest in it like you'd invest gold and eat it like it's food. Because it's better than that. It is the great resource of the Word of God. What I like about what Jesus goes on to say, and really it's the whole premise of this whole passage, is this. He uses this, it's the premise. It's the absolute total premise of the whole thing on how God teaches us to pray. Verse 11, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What I want to say is not only the Word of God in prayer is one of the most powerful resources ever, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful resource that you can ever possess in this life. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the manifestation of God in His presence in this world and through the church. And what's really great about this, when I'm asking God for certain things, when I'm seeking God for certain things, when I'm knocking, guess what He does? He doesn't necessarily give us those things. He gives the provider of those things, which is the Holy Spirit. It's what He's given us. The very source of everything that we need in this life. The very source and power. It's the Holy Spirit that we ask for. It's the third person, again, of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is God. And it's God in us. It's God in you. It's God in the world. And Jesus said, listen, the reason why I have to go is because if I don't go, I can't send the Spirit into your life individually, corporately. And I have to go. Where's Jesus today? He's on the throne. Where's God the Father? He's in heaven, ruling and reigning. Jesus is at the throne, ruling and reigning. Where's the Holy Spirit? Hey, He's living in you right now. How can that be? Several hundred of us together, 400 of us together, a few hundred of us together, and guess what? If we're in Christ, every one of us has the Holy Spirit living within us. Oh, how powerful is that? How wonderful is that? And that's why it's just so important to acknowledge it. And when I'm asking God in these circumstances of like, I want your Holy Spirit, it's not like God said, I've already given it to you, don't have to ask. No, it's not like that. It's like it's just a reminder that the Spirit of God's living in me. And He's better than food, and He's better than money, and He's better than stuff, and He's better than relationships, and He's better than the job, and He's better than the career, and He's better than success, and He's better than all these things. He is better. He's God, and He's living in me, and I got Him. We got Him. We found it. We have Him. And this is what He says when you look at Scripture and what the Holy Spirit does. And we're gonna look on some little bit more about it next week. But spend some time. But I want to give you five things real briefly, and we'll come back next week and talk about it. But first of all, the Holy Spirit empowers you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses everywhere you go, whether it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth. What is a witness? What is a witness? A witness is someone that bears witness, gives testimony, testifies. He says, you're my witness. You're my testifier. You testify of my greatness. This is not a missionary, quote, a missionary passage, unless you really believe like we believe that we're all missionaries to some extent, okay? Whether it's in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. This is not some verse of scripture. The Great Commission is not for some hired holy people to go and preach. It's for the whole church. And a witness in the literal language of the Greek is martus. They get the word martyr from it. You shall be martyrs. You know, a person who lays down his physical life for Jesus, who dies and is martyred, already gave up his life, already made that decision years before or months before or days before when he decided to follow Christ. That I will live for him the rest of my life, no matter what comes my way. And you know what happened? He didn't really die the first time when they took his life. He died when he said yes to God. And he laid down his life to become a witness for the rest of her life, for the rest of his life. You shall receive power and you'll be my martyrs. You'll be my martyrs. You'll be my witnesses. You will testify by your words and by your life the greatness of my kingdom, the greatness of your God. So the Holy Spirit empowers you to live. The resource of the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, don't need to turn there. All I'm going to say is that the Spirit of God intercedes for you for groaning with groanings too deep for words. Okay? And I tell you this, this isn't tongues, okay? Some people say, that's tongues. That's not tongues. That's the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God praying for you. It is with groanings too deep for words. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is praying for you and interceding for you according to the will of God. Hey, I made this statement. There's some of you who are hurting today. Some of you are struggling today. Some of you, your hearts are just down. You're not rejoicing right now. Your souls are broken. Your eyes haven't been enlightened. You've been making stupid decisions. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit of living God is interceding for you right now according to His will. Amen. Amen. It's with this resource. I've got the Spirit of God living in me, and He is praying for me. He is interceding according to the will of God. In every circumstance, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, whether it's beautiful, He's praying for you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches you. In 1 John chapter 2, the scripture says that we have an anointing, and we have no need for anyone to teach us anything, but this anointing is the Spirit of the living God, and He teaches us about all things. And you know what He teaches us to do most? He teaches us how to abide in Jesus, how to stay in Jesus, how to live in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is empowers you to live life for Him. He's praying for you so that, and according to the will of God, He's teaching you, but the Holy Spirit also leads you. The Holy Spirit leads you. Romans 8 talks about the sons of God. He says, these are the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God. That's who the sons of God are. You know, it's interesting. He doesn't say, hey, the sons of God are all those people who accepted me. No, He says, the children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you being led by the Spirit of God today? The Spirit of God leading you to put to death deeds of the flesh and to live after Him the rest of your life. That's what He teaches us to do. That's what He shows us how to live. He leads us. The Holy Spirit empowers you, prays for you, teaches you. The Lord, He leads you. And then the scripture says that the Holy Spirit, He changes you. He transforms you. I have a scripture in 1 Corinthians 6. I don't want to use that one. I want to use 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to turn there, and we're going to close with this because we're still going to have a little bit of worship left. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice what he says about the Spirit of God in verse 17 and about the change that God wants to put place in your life. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Will you believe that today?
Where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. Freedom. Now watch. We all with unveiled face, beholding, seeking, looking, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Watch. Are being transformed. We're being changed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. Watch. The Spirit. It's from the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit, God, Christ in you, who makes this change and effects this change in your life that brings you from the pit, as we prayed earlier, to the rock, who takes you from the miry clay and places you on the rock, stuck in the mud, stuck in the mud of life. Now your footsteps are firm on the rock, Jesus, and you're singing a new song because of the Holy Spirit's work in you. Now watch this. Let's watch. And we'll close with this. I come to God and I say, God, I need power today. And what does he say? Here's the Spirit who gives power. Lord, I need comfort today. Let me just give you the comforter. How's that? Is the comforter better than comfort? Yeah, because the comforter gives comfort and you're always there. Never forsakes you, never leaves you. It's always there. So that's what he does. God, I need help today. Well, I'll tell you what, instead of just giving you help, I'll give you the helper, the paraclete, Jesus. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one called alongside to help. Oh, Lord, God, I in this decision I need right now, I've got a decision to make and I need wisdom in it. Hey, how about if I not give you the decision, but I just give you the decision maker? What if I just give you the Holy Spirit who will lead you right now and forever in this decision? Let me tell you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I want you to bow with me in prayer. I want the praise team to back. Come on back up. We're going to finish praise this morning. A couple of songs. And as they prepare, I'm going to say this. On this second set of music this morning, I want to open the altar up for you. That if you need to come down and say, God, I've been asking for the wrong things. I'm asking for your Holy Spirit today. I'm asking for your Spirit to come. I'm asking for you to come. I'm not asking you to change things. I'm just asking for your Spirit to come into my life, to come right now. Again, Lord, I know you're here. I know you're in my life. I received you into my life. You know, I was baptized by the Spirit into the church, into the living God. That's what happened. And I know I've got the Spirit, but God, I need you right now. I need your Spirit. We've been going about this all wrong, God. We've been thinking it's about us. But it's not about us. It's about your kingdom, and it's about you. God, I've been asking for comfort, but I just need the comforter. I've been asking for a decision, but God, I just need the decision giver. It's where we come to the place in our lives that we say, you're enough, God. You are enough. And I praise you. And I bless you. And I thank you. Greatest resource ever. Word of God and prayer. The Holy Spirit, living God. How's God speaking to you? What's God saying? I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm here if you need me prayer. If there's more of you, I'll find somebody to pray for you. You need counsel, whatever it is, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, my soul's been broken and I need Jesus today for the first time. I need Jesus for the first time. Father, I pray in your name that as we sing always here, as we come to this place to sing, that God, that you would just bless us right now with your presence. Holy Spirit, living God, fall fresh upon us, we pray. Thank you for this resource. May we believe in it. May we live it. May we be filled with this resource today, the Holy Spirit, living God. I ask this in your name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. You come as you feel led.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will.